Well, today we're going to continue with where we left off last time. I think what we were talking about the last time, especially in regards to the Holy Spirit, is a very important subject, and so I didn't want to just move away from it. I want to spend at least one more hour with that particular subject on the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in prominence, really. We need Him in our lives to flow through us, to impact and animate, to empower us, to make us more effectual in our ministry and in what we do. We have been talking about the armor of God, and the armor of God was what we as Christians are to wear or to put on because we are in war. But because we are in war, we must and put on these different elements of the whole armor of God. We must also keep a prayer life, a consistent prayer life that helps those armaments to be more effectual in our lives. You know, one of the pieces of the armor, as we talked about, was the sword of the Spirit. And the scripture clearly states that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And so the Word of God is the avenue through which the Holy Spirit will work. Now listen, the Holy Spirit will never do anything contrary to God's Word. Never. He will always even confine himself, if that's proper, to the very Word of God, which he will confirm, which he brings to our minds and to our hearts. And so before we begin, let's pray, and we're going to ask the Lord for his blessing. But I do want you to turn to the book of Ephesians again, chapter 6, and there we will begin our study again. Lord, I do ask today that you would use your word to enlighten our minds. Give us understanding, spiritual understanding concerning your word and all that we are to understand as your people. For Lord, you have something very, very important for us to understand. And I pray that we as a church would not be neglectful of the third person of the Trinity. That Lord, we would be a people that not only know about God our Father and God the Son, but that we would truly acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit here in our church. We pray that, Lord, you would have your way today, and we ask that through it all, you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and I want us to read verse 18 and verse 19 through 20, verses 18 through 20, I should say. And what we want to consider again is the Holy Spirit, who is very active, very prominent within our hearts, although we don't always fully understand his work in our lives. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't come to talk about himself. The Holy Spirit will always lead us and draw us to a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. He doesn't speak of himself. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't understand the workings of the Holy Spirit within our hearts and lives. And so that's what we want to talk about today. But Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, and it says this, "Pray in the Spirit always, with all kinds of prayer and supplication. To that end, be alert with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." And he adds a prayer request for himself. He says, "Pray for me, that the power to speak may be given to me, and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And so the Holy Spirit, to be honest with you, has been sent by God the Father through His Son Jesus Christ to empower us, to give us the ability to minister effectively. And we know this by the Scripture, and so I want to take you around the Bible for a little bit, if you don't mind, just to see how we need the Holy Spirit, and then we'll get back to Ephesians, because the book of Ephesians actually has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. But turn to the book of Acts chapter 1. You see, we didn't have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this manner in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was definitely active. I mean, but he would only come upon the kings, the priests, the prophets, those that were specifically called for specific ministerial reasons. But not just everyone could have the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament day. But when Jesus came, and he came to give his life on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, his blood that was shed would cleanse us from our sin so thoroughly that God would make you and me, as his vessels, his temple. And so we would become the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit would come to make his residence within our hearts because we've been made holy by the blood of Jesus. Do you all hear that? And so because we're holy, the Holy Spirit can make residence within our hearts. The Holy Spirit, being God, does not dwell where sin is. But where there's a clean, holy temple, he dwells, and guess where he dwells? He dwells within you and me, and you and I are the church. Now remember, the four walls that make up this sanctuary are not the church. It may be a quote-unquote church building, but to be honest with you, what makes this building a church is when the church comes into the building. Amen? We are the church. But Acts chapter 1, let's look at what Jesus said, because he's the one that tells them about the fact that the Holy Spirit would be coming to empower them and to fill them in a very unique and New Testament way. You see, like I said, it was not this way in the Old Testament, but in the New. And so chapter 1, let's read verse 4. We'll start with verse 4 and we'll read through verse 8. It says, being assembled with them, this is Jesus with his disciples, after his resurrection. You see, after Jesus died, was in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and then after he rose from the dead, his resurrection, he was here on the earth for 40 more days. And so during those 40 days, he spent time with his disciples. That's what it's saying here. He was assembled with them, verse 4. He commanded them. Now notice what it says there. He gave them a command. That means he told them, this is my command, you do this. It's his command. He says, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so Jesus told them, don't leave Jerusalem. You stay here until you receive the promise of the Father. And so it's a commandment. It's not just hearsay. He told them, don't go anywhere, don't do anything. You stay here until you receive the promise of the Father. And so verse 6 says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority. They assumed that this promise of the Father would bring them to a place of political power, a place of being able to get rid of Roman tyranny, get out from under their yoke. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about something altogether different. So he said, it's not for you to know. But, verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If you have a King James Version, it says to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken those things, while they looked, he was taken up, and a cloud received him from their sight. And so that's the ascension. The resurrection is when Jesus came out of the grave. The ascension of Christ is when he left this earth back into heaven in that cloud, where they said he will come back in the same manner. Jesus gave him a command to remain in Jerusalem until they receive the promise of the Father, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He also said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And what Jesus was explaining to them was a whole new era of the Spirit. Some have said that the book of Acts, even though we call it the Acts of the Apostles, really should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would be poured out upon his church in Acts chapter 2 in a very dynamic way. They would all be assembled in one accord, and the Holy Spirit would come upon them, cloven tongues like as a fire would be upon all of those assembled. What I like about that is that there was 120 believers assembled together there. And the Holy Spirit didn't just come upon the apostles. He didn't come upon just a certain few. He came upon all of them. Even Jesus' own mother Mary was there with his brothers and his sisters. His family was there. And the Holy Spirit came upon all 120, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Now, when that happened and that occurred, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 began to take place. They received power. Power. Because it says there, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now, this empowering of the Holy Spirit is vital for you and me. I don't know about you, but I want to be a greater witness for Jesus. I want to be more effective in my ministry. I don't know about you. But all of us have a ministry. Did you know that? It's not just for the pastor to minister in the church alone. All of us are ministers in one way or another. You're going to be able to reach people that your pastor won't be able to reach. Amen? You have involvement in the community, or you have friends that live next to you, or you know people on the job that I will never meet. Amen? But you are going to minister to them. And you know, one of the powerful things about the early church is that most of the Roman Empire was won to Christ by 100 AD. Now, the Roman Empire began to, you could say the Roman Empire, but you'll say Satan through the Roman Empire tried to destroy the church. They were what were known as the 10 great imperial persecutions of the church, where the church was, some have said, was baptized in blood. Literally, many gave their lives for the gospel. But they proclaimed the gospel, and it wasn't only ministers preaching. It wasn't only evangelists traveling, although they did that. You had evangelists traveling all of Asia Minor and the Roman world. You know, they say that God prepared the world for the gospel through the use of Rome itself. Rome made what was called the Roman roads. Anybody heard of the Roman roads? Some of those roads are still in existence today. They're in the Roman Empire region. They could travel on horseback. They could go from here to there to preach the gospel, which they did. So you had evangelists. You had pastors pastoring churches. You had missionaries going to different areas of the world, many of them giving their lives blood. You had prophets prophesying. You had the whole fivefold ministry in action. But believe it or not, all of those alone did not reach the whole Roman Empire. It was regular, everyday, common folk, lay people in the church that impacted their environment. You are a minister. It's our responsibility, wherever we are, to shine the light of Jesus where we are. Amen? Those that went to work told their fellow workers about Jesus. Those that worked in the government told their fellow workers about Jesus. Those that were in the military, that were born again, told their fellow military personnel about Jesus. Friend told friend, neighbor told neighbor. And so you and I have a ministry, and we need the Holy Spirit. And so Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 said, pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer. And we need the Holy Spirit to be more effective in our ministries. Amen? Our world needs a real Christ. Amen? They don't need religion. The people out there are tired of just people saying, oh, I'm a Christian, but their life doesn't back it up. Amen? A real true Christianity that is vibrant, that is active, that is doing and living for Jesus in such a powerful way that it's impacting the people around us, our community, our world. Your world is different than my world. Amen? Amen. But you will make an impact, but we need the Holy Spirit to empower us. And so in talking about the Holy Spirit, we need Him, because after we talked about all of the whole armor of God, all of that was summed up with Paul saying, pray in the Spirit. Sadly, we're living in a time of Christianity, and I don't mean it to cover the whole of all Christians and Christianity. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But there is a lot of Christian churches, Christian church leaders, where they're opting for psychology and the wisdom of man to help direct them rather than being dependent on the Holy Spirit. Most, if not, you can't say all, but a lot of the church is nowadays opting not only for psychology to help the troubles of the mind or the trouble of humanity, but a lot of them are even opting for education. It's better that you have a doctorate degree than you're baptized in the Holy Spirit in some places. But I'm here to tell you, it's actually the other way around. We're going to be more effective and effectual in our ministries when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now listen to this. There are some that will say the evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not speaking in other tongues, but they'll say the evidence of the baptism is living a righteous life. But I'm here to tell you that's not true. The evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, as you read through the book of Acts, has always been tongues. And we use the Bible as our authority. Amen? Not just what Pastor James says, not just what so-and-so says. What is the evidence? I believe the Scripture portrays it as tongues, and I'll show you here in a moment. But when those that say the evidence of the baptism is a righteous life, I counter that by saying this. The evidence of a born-again life is a righteous life. Did you hear that? A person that has been saved, washed in the blood of Jesus, and is sincerely walking with God, as the Holy Spirit helps them, they will live a righteous life. Remember, Martin Luther said this, good works don't make a man good, but a good man does good works. We've been made righteous by faith through the blood of Jesus Christ. We accept Christ as our Lord and Savior by faith. And our reception of Christ as Lord and Savior into our hearts by faith, that makes us righteous. And because we've been made righteous, we will begin to do the works of righteousness. Now, that doesn't mean that automatically we're perfectly righteous and don't make any mistakes and we're not growing. We're going to grow. Amen? The Bible describes the fruit of the Spirit in our lives in the book of Galatians chapter 5. But as we all know, any of us that have fruit trees in the yard or know people that do, fruit takes time to grow on any tree. Amen? First the flower, then the bees start to do they move the, whatever you call that stuff, pollen around, and then eventually it closes up and becomes, that fruit begins to grow, amen, and begins to mature. It's the way it is. We, as children of the living God, aren't going to be a perfectly fruitful fruit tree the day after we're saved. How many of you know that? Huh? Did you know some fruit trees take more time to get fruit than other trees? And how many of you know that we're not all identical? Some of us are going to develop fruit a lot quicker than others. That's just the way it is. But you and I must be very patient with our brother and our sister as we're developing our fruit. Amen? Amen. So, patient. I mean, we've got to be patient with our brother and our sister. Don't be critical. Don't condemn them. Don't say they're a hypocrite. Give them a chance to grow. You want people to be patient with you, then be patient with them. It's just like the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is going to grow. It's going to happen. But the evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a righteous life. It's going to be that we have been saved, that we're walking with God, and we, as a byproduct of our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, will be the righteous life. Amen. Let me tell you this. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is to empower you for service, to make you more effective in your ministry to those that you minister to. When you're talking to your neighbor, when you're talking to your coworker, whenever you're being used of the Lord and you're beginning to feel God calling you to do more in the church, and you feel to talk to the pastor about, can I teach this class or can I do this? And God's moving you to be effective in your ministry, we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, and specifically praying in the Spirit, we need to be full of the Holy Spirit to pray in the Spirit. And that means praying with an understanding of God's heart, with His mind concerning certain things. There are times when we need the mind of God to know how to pray about certain things. Amen? Sometimes we don't know how to pray like we should, and that's when we need to pray in the Spirit. There are times when you don't know how to pray, but you begin to pray in the Spirit. And when I say in the Spirit, I'm talking about praying in tongues. Praying in the prayer language that you receive when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you begin to pray in tongues about those situations. And when you do, you are praying the mind and will of God every time. That's why the Spirit-filled, Spirit-baptized believer should pray in tongues as much as they can, whenever they can. Pray with their understanding and pray in the Spirit as well. Amen. Sing in the Spirit. And sing with your understanding as well. But let me, you know, we're in a Pentecostal church here, can you tell? But let me say something. Sometimes some Pentecostal churches can be so full of tongues that all they do is talking in tongues and talking in tongues that you don't even, why are they wasting their time? What are you saying, Pastor James? What are you saying? That we shouldn't be so much in tongues? No, listen to what I'm saying. When we're in the church congregation, Paul said, I would rather say 10 words, I don't know, I'm paraphrasing it, 10 words that everyone will understand than saying 1,000 words in tongues that no one will understand. Did you understand that? Let me say it again. Paul was saying, I would rather say a few words in the language that we all understand here. I think most of us would say English. If it was Spanish, a lot of us would understand that as well. But I would rather say words that you will understand to benefit everyone than to say 1,000 words in an unknown tongue and no one benefit from it. And so that's why there has to be order to how we speak in tongues. I remember David Wilkerson was a Spirit-filled evangelist. And the whole time, I think I heard him speak in tongues like once over the whole time that I was ever around him or in a service where he was. I think one time I even bought a tape from World Challenge. It was way back in the day. And it was a tape from, you know, it was still a tape. You know, it wasn't a CD, it wasn't an MP3, nor was it a digital download. You follow what I'm saying? It was back where there were still tapes. I bought a tape from World Challenge, and it was from David Wilkerson preaching, You Need the Holy Spirit. That was the title. And in that, he called people and prayed for them to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Rarely did you hear him pray in tongues, but that man was definitely effective in his ministry. And there is no doubt that he prayed in tongues in his prayer time alone. Did you hear that? Tongues are not to go and promote how spiritual a person is. God forbid. Tongues are not just to say a lot of noise and be loud to show someone how spiritual you are or I am. That's not what they're for. It's for you to pray in the Spirit, to pray mysteries, the Bible says, to pray the mind and will of God, it says. But you're doing all of that to be more effective in your ministry. Amen. There's a time, as we read through the book of Acts, when they were gathered together at a prayer meeting. And as they were praying, They begin to pray, God, give us boldness to be able to tell others about you, to share the gospel with those around us. That was their intent to pray. And they began to pray together, and as they were praying, the Bible says the place where they were began to shake. I mean, this mighty manifestation of God's power began to hit that place where they were praying. And all of a sudden, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon them to empower them to be more bold in their proclamation. You see, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, again, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. When it talks about being my witnesses, that word in the Greek means martyr. It means someone that will give their lives in the proclamation of the gospel. And you will be my witnesses. In other words, people are going to know about who Christ is through you. To the point, if necessary, that we lay down our lives. Did you know that we, to be truly more effective, have to be living dead men? Well, Pastor James, what are you saying? Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So fully given over to God and to His purposes, that when God says turn left, we're turning left. That when God says jump, we're jumping. That it's not our will, but it's His will. To be honest with you, it's called the cross life. How many of you ever heard that? The cross life. It's when God's will intersects with yours and you choose to do God's will and not your own. How many of you want to be more effective in your ministry? Then we need the Holy Spirit. But we need to pray, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. But now I want to get down to motive here. Why do we want the Holy Spirit? Why do we want to speak in other tongues? Why do we want to have the gifts of the Spirit as taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to operate through us? Do we want it to show off? Then that's a wrong motive. We don't want to do it for that reason. Amen? Do we want it to seem super spiritual? To say, I have these gifts operating in me? No. The motive should be Jesus. Did you hear that? God, I want all that you have for me. And I want to know you more. You see, the Holy Spirit will come to reveal Christ to you and to me. I remember when I was first seeking for the baptism in the Holy Spirit for myself. And I was longing to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But you know why I wanted to be filled? I wanted all that God had for me. And I remember, I even wrote to World Challenge, to David Wilkerson's ministry, and I wrote a little letter, and I said, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember they wrote back, and they sent a few newsletters of David Wilkerson's, and they also said this, and they said, listen, if you want all that God has for you, and you want the Holy Spirit, then seek and hunger for Jesus more and more. Our longing should be Christ. I want you, Jesus, and I want all that you have for me. I want to know you. I want to love you. I want you to love me. I want to know you. I want to talk with you as friend with friend. I want you so much. And in your longing for Him and all that He has for you, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Wait. But you know what? The Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. The Holy Spirit didn't leave. You don't have to pray for a brand new outpouring for Him to come back to earth again. He's here. And so we can receive the Holy Spirit in church here. You can receive God's Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues in your car. My brother Eric eventually went to the Bible school where I went a few years after me. He was out there praying in his prayer spot there on the campus near some trees, and he was there calling out to God and got baptized in the Holy Spirit right there with the trees. Amen? I knew another minister that, well, I didn't know him. I was told of a minister back in the day when people were still riding horses from meeting place to meeting place, and he was going on the horse, and all of a sudden, as he was going there to preach, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit on his way. Praise the Lord, right? But if you want all that God has for you and your heart is after God, ask Him to baptize you and fill you with more of His Holy Spirit to be more effective. Amen? Also, so that you can pray in the Holy Ghost. Turn to Jude 20. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude. Jude is towards the book of Revelation. It's right before the last book of the Bible. But Jude talked about this, and we mentioned it real quick last time. And with this verse, after this, we'll get into Ephesians, because the Holy Spirit is prominent there. But it says, "But you, beloved," this is Jude, this was the half-brother of Jesus that wrote this epistle. He said, "Build yourselves up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit." And I'm going to tell you, ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, to give you that prayer language. And when you have it, pray in tongues. Amen? Exercise that language. Keep on talking in it. Amen? I have known some people that got baptized in the Holy Spirit and they did just a few syllables and they thought, oh man, that can't be tongues. It's just always repeating itself. It doesn't sound like another language. It's just the same syllables over and over again. It can't be tongues. And the doubts of the mind, don't listen to the mind. The mind is always going to be fruitless. It's something you speak by faith as you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me explain it this way. My first year of school, we had a brother that was from Africa. And man, this guy was on fire. He wanted to preach. He couldn't even sit in his chair. He wanted to be out there preaching on the streets or something. He was something else. You almost had to restrain him to stay in class, you know. He was something else. But anyways, he taught us some songs, and I want you to listen to them. And I'm using these songs to explain how that different languages have different meaning, and it all sounds the same. And so when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, don't doubt your prayer language because of the way it sounds. You pray in that language because it is a language somewhere. Amen? And there's a lot of languages in this world. More often than not, I mean, most every time when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're not going to understand that prayer language, that tongue that you have. So your mind is going to be fruitless. That's why the Bible says that. Anyways, he taught us this song, but I want you to hear it. You ready for it? This is the song. It goes, na ni na ni na na, na ni na ni na na, na ni na ni na na, na ni na ni na na. You hear that? You hear the syllables? Does it all sound the same? Na ni na ni na na, na ni na ni na na, na ni na ni na na, na ni na ni na na. That was the song. Then he did it in another African language. Listen to this. Na ni ye mokozi, Yesu ye mokozi. Na ni ye mokozi, Yesu ye mokozi. We were over there with a drum. You know, it was fun. Na ni na ni na na, na ni na ni na na, na ni na ni na na, na ni na ni na na. Another language. Na ni ye mokozi, Yesu ye mokozi. Na ni ye mokozi, Yesu ye mokozi. Here's the English version now. Who is the King of Kings? Jesus the King of Kings. Who is the King of Kings? Jesus the King of Kings. Na ni na ni na na. Who is the King of Kings? Na ni na ni na na, Jesus the King of Kings. Y'all see it? Na ni na ni na na, who is the King of Kings? Na ni na ni na na, Jesus the King of Kings. You don't judge the language by the syllables. You pray in the Spirit by faith. You ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit wherever you are, and you say, God, I receive the Holy Spirit now by faith. You're going to begin to sense in your heart, in your spirit, words, languages, syllables. And you're the one that is going to put the voice to that language. Let me show it to you in Acts chapter 2 real fast. I know I said we'll get to Ephesians, but let me show it to you. Acts chapter 2 verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. I like the way the King James says it. It says they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. He gives the utterance, but you're the one that will do the speaking. Do you understand that? So the Holy Spirit is just going to come take over, and all of a sudden you're just going to start going and saying languages without your control. You have control. The spirit of the prophet, the Bible says, is subject to the prophet. So when you pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you're going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit with the whole thing. He's going to give you the language, but you're the one going to speak it. And so when you're in prayer and you're seeking God and you're wanting all that He has for you, and you're saying, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and you say in your heart, Lord, right now, as according to your promise, you said for me to receive the Holy Spirit, I receive the Holy Spirit now by faith. You begin to praise the Lord with all of your heart. You begin to lift up your hands. But there's one thing that will not happen. The Holy Spirit is not going to force your mouth open. Did you know that? So if you keep your mouth closed, nothing's going to happen. But you're going to cooperate with Him and you're going to open your mouth. And you will begin to speak with other tongues as you give voice to what is coming in the Spirit. Do you all hear what I'm saying here? And whenever you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, because you can be baptized today. You don't have to wait today. Amen? And you can begin to speak with other tongues. And when you do, pray in tongues as much as you can. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. That meant Paul was constantly praying in tongues. And yet I'm almost sure they probably never saw him speaking in tongues in front of them. But I'm sure in prayer he was in the Spirit praying in tongues quite a bit. Just like I remember David Wilkerson said. Let me explain it with one more story, and then we'll get to Ephesians here. There was a man who was seeking for the baptism in the Holy Spirit for years. They would have evangelists come to town. The evangelists at time would have a service for people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They'd call them up to pray over them. And that gentleman was there at every altar call. He wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He would come to the altar, they'd lay their hands on him, then he would be there praising the Lord. He would be there wanting to receive the Holy Spirit just like everybody else. And lo and behold, he never got filled. He never spoke with other tongues. After 8-9 years, I forget if it was 8 or 9 years, but 8-9 years later, the same thing. Another evangelist came to town. And he was there at the altar call, wanting to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He was there. The evangelist or the minister said, lift up your hands. They prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. They laid their hands on him. And he was there and he just said, well, I'm just going to blurt out what I sense to blurt out. And so he was there and he blurted out these syllables. And all of a sudden there he was saying these syllables and he didn't have any emotions. It didn't feel anything. It didn't feel like if he was in heaven when he did it. He just blurted out what he felt to blurt out at the moment. So after he did it, he was discouraged. He said, nah, that couldn't have been the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I didn't feel the heavenly angels all around me at that moment. It couldn't have been. I mean, it didn't even sound like tongues. So he right away, the mind attacked and was attacking the element of faith. He said, ah, it couldn't have been. And so all of a sudden there was these little missionary ladies in there. And they got all excited. You know, little old white-headed missionary ladies that had been missionaries. And they were in the service. And they got all excited like those little old Pentecostal ladies can get. And so they're all, oh, praise the Lord, oh, praise you're baptized. They're all excited for him. Hallelujah. You know, they were just doing their thing, all excited because he spoke in tongues. So then they told him, oh, praise the Lord, brother, praise the Lord. You finally got baptized in the Holy Spirit, blah, blah, blah. And he turned around and he said, no, that wasn't, it was just me, he said. It's just me. I just blurted out what I felt to blurt out. And so then they stopped and they said, you don't realize, brother, but we have been missionaries in this area of the world for a while. And we know the language of the people. And when you spoke in tongues, you were praising the Lord in that language of the people that we have been ministering to for years. And unbeknown to him, feelings. You see, you don't live your life in the Spirit by feelings. Did you know that? It's not by feelings. Because your feelings are, some days you're going to feel like you're in cloud nine with God. I mean, you're so in, everything seems to be going so well. God loves you. But then sometimes your feelings are saying, man, God doesn't like me. My prayers are hitting the roof. I don't feel like a Christian today. Anybody ever been there before? Feelings. Man, they're up, they're down, they're here, they're there. You don't depend on your feelings, your emotions. God forbid, man, then you're on a roller coaster all your Christian experience. You base your relationship with God by faith. And the mind is always going to be unfruitful when it comes to tongues. And this guy blurted out what he felt to blurt out at the moment. And unbeknown to him, he was saying and praising the Lord in another language, and he didn't even feel it. That's why it takes faith. Amen? Think about when you got saved. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't know about you, I know about me. When I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior on my bedside, I was at the bunk bed, me and my younger brother slept on a bunk bed, my twin brother Jonas slept on his own bed. I don't know how that worked out. I've always wondered about that. He got his own bed over there, me and Eric were on bunk beds. Anyways, I remember on that bunk bed, I got on my knees, long hair and all, after hearing evangelist Billy Graham, and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, by faith. I didn't feel all of a sudden the angels start singing hallelujah up in heaven when I did that. When I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I didn't get any emotional experience. There were no feelings at all. But I received Him by faith. But I remember one thing that was stated through the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He said, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive Him into your heart by faith, but then you confess Him with your mouth. You tell others that you are saved. You tell someone, go tell someone you've received Jesus. And I was so shy. I didn't talk to most people, especially then. But eventually I started telling people about, I'm a Christian. Now notice this. You receive salvation by faith, but with your mouth you confess. You all hear that? It's the same with the Holy Spirit, believe it or not. You receive the Holy Spirit by faith. He's going to give you a language and you're going to speak it by faith. Amen. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, to receive that prayer language, to have more power when you pray, and to have more effectiveness when you minister. We need the Holy Spirit. How many of you want to know more about Jesus? Then we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, like I said earlier, will not talk about Himself. He's going to lead you. He's going to lead me to a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. And so if that is the case, then we need more of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Did you notice while Jesus was on the earth, who did Jesus reveal to the people? Who is Jesus, the Father, exactly? So while Jesus was here on the earth, He revealed to the people the Father. So then the more you know Jesus, the more you're going to know your Heavenly Father. Amen? Think about the Trinity at work in the whole. And so we need God's Holy Spirit. Now let's get back to the book of Ephesians now. And I want us to see a lot of the scriptures that concern the Holy Spirit. First of all, we can see that He has a personality, and we can see that in the book of Ephesians. So turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, and I mentioned that He has a personality. The Holy Spirit is not, there are cults out there that will say the Holy Spirit isn't even a person. There are cults that will say the Holy Spirit's just an energy, like electricity, but has no personality. Much less is He God. They'll say He's not God. They look at you as a Trinitarian as someone that is off the rocker. Okay? That's how some of those in the cults will look at you. They look at Roman Catholics the same. They'll say, because they're Trinitarian. They'll say they're off their rocker. They believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is God. And He has a personality. And because He has a personality, we can look at what it says here. First of all, chapter 1, verse 13, He is holy. A power, electricity, can't be holy, can it? but a person can. Look at chapter 1, verse 13, and it says this, in him you also, after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and after believing in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So he's a Holy Spirit. He's not just, quote unquote, an essence, a power, an air. He's not that. He is a person, and he's holy. He also has wisdom and can reveal truth. Electricity can't give you wisdom, can it? It can send data. You know, over here, SLV Rec, your electricity company, if you're using them, they're putting up a fiber optic cable all around the valley. Hopefully they get it to where we live soon so we can have a more stable internet connection, high speed. I work with fiber optics there at the school where I was. Man, I'm talking about gigabit transfer speeds. I'm talking about high speed internet. You know, it's awful when you have an internet connection that keeps on falling down. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Anyways, fiber optics is light. It's all small little cylinders of light from one connection to the other. And at the speed of light, they're sending signals. That's why fiber optic is so fast. Light can travel. Y'all hear that? But it doesn't have wisdom. It can send data from one place to another. But the person that has the wisdom is sending it through that data system. You all follow what I'm saying here? And so light in and of itself doesn't have wisdom. Electricity doesn't have wisdom, but a person does. Amen? Look at chapter 1, verse 17. It says this, so that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He gives wisdom because he's wise. Amen. Look at chapter 3 and verse 5, Ephesians. It says, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What? He's giving revelation. It says in other generations was not made known, but now he's making something known. Why? Because he has wisdom. But also, look at chapter 4 and verse 30. Another part of his personality can be seen here, because we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been grieved before? Someone hurt your feelings and you felt grief? Can an electrical power source feel grief? No, it can be stopped by hindering the light or hindering the electrical current or cutting it off. But being grieved shows personality. Amen. Look at chapter 4, verse 30. It says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. He is a sensitive Holy Spirit. We need to learn how, to be honest with you, to learn how to walk humbly with our God. Walk softly before him. Amen. God hates pride. The Bible says he hates a proud look. God despises pride. That's why those that are proud, God will humble. And believe it or not, the humbling is a good thing. Amen? Sometimes we can get proud, and God will, in his mercy, humble us. Amen? But we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know, one of the many ways that we can grieve the Holy Spirit is how we talk. The way that we talk. If we're talking slanderously or we're yelling all the time, and I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit was manifested, especially at Jesus' baptism, was as a dove. And doves are a very gentle bird, aren't they? They're a very gentle animal. They're different than their cousin, the pigeon. You ever notice pigeons can be around noise and in the midst of busy streets? Pigeons. You guys know what I'm saying? A dove is not like a pigeon. A dove is different. They like peace. They like more quiet. They're a little bit more easily agitated, I guess, in some ways. But a dove. And that dove manifestation, how the Holy Spirit was described as a dove coming down in bodily form upon Jesus Christ, shows his sensitivity. He's a gentleman. He will never force himself. He's not going to make things, make you pray in tongues. He waits for you to cooperate with him, so on and so forth. Amen? He's a gentle person. And because he is, he can be grieved. And so when it says here, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, you'll notice right around those verses that there is the lengua all around, the tongue. Look what it says right before it. Verse 29, it says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up, that it may give grace to the listeners. Then it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, outbursts, blasphemies, malice be taken away from you. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. You notice how there's a lot dealing with the way we act, outbursts, rage, anger, how we talk. And so we must bring this tongue under the subjection of Christ. Amen. Because we can grieve the Holy Spirit. God help us. I mean, I'm talking to me. I remember I told this story before, but let me say it again for the ones that may not have been here that day. R.T. Kendall is a godly man, a spirit-filled believer. Been ministering for years. He's in his 80s now, I think. He wrote the book called Total Forgiveness, on and so forth. I think the ladies have been going through that book in the women's study. Anyways, he one time told the story how that there was a couple who lived in an apartment, and in that apartment, they... You know, they noticed something. They noticed that there was two doves that would sit on the trees, on the branches right outside their house. And so they noticed that the doves were there. But they also began to notice that whenever they were fighting and yelling at each other, the doves weren't there. But when they were getting along and they were at peace with one another and there was no arguing and bickering going on, the doves were outside the window. And I remember he used that to illustrate how sensitive the Holy Spirit is in our lives. And if we want more of the fullness of God's Holy Spirit, we need to walk more in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You'll notice that the ways of the flesh are going to be more towards yelling, fighting, discontent, doing things that are wrong. That's the way of the flesh. You'll notice in Galatians chapter 5, where it lists the fruit of the Spirit, it also lists the fruit of the flesh. And you'll notice those fruits of the flesh are all going to be grieving. So that's why we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. And so it's our part to walk in the Spirit, being prayerful, being in God's Word. Whenever we're tempted to want to yell, God help me not to yell right now. Amen? When we're being tempted to do something wrong, God help us not to do it wrong. Help us to walk in the Spirit. But notice it has to be a walk. It's going to take you putting in your time in the Spirit. It's not going to happen overnight. Amen? Have you ever noticed when you want to start reading the Bible more, you start reading and then all of a sudden the next day your flesh doesn't want to read. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So that instead of the flesh, you say, no, I'm going to read anyways, whether I feel like it or not. So you read. Amen? And slowly but surely, you're actually overcoming the flesh. Amen? But it happens the other way around. Well, we give into the flesh and we say, okay, well, I'm not going to read today. I'll read tomorrow. Then the next day, it's easier not to read, right? And then before you know it, we haven't read for a while. Because we've been giving in to the flesh. You see, you're going to overcome the flesh by walking in the Spirit. And that's how we won't grieve Him. Now, all of that to say He is a person. He's not just a power, as some of those in the cults would say. Now, He is called by many names. In chapter 1, verse 13, He's called the Holy Spirit of promise. Remember, God promised to give the Holy Spirit to you and me. He's the Holy Spirit of promise. He's also called the Spirit. In chapter 2, verse 22, He is called His Spirit, the Spirit of God. And He's also known to be called the Holy Spirit of God, His Spirit. It's interesting that He's also called the Spirit of Christ in other places, not in the book of Ephesians, but in other places. Now, one of the reasons why is because, again, He's going to lead and draw you and me to the person of Christ, not to Himself. Amen? And so in many ways, what He does resembles everything that Christ will do and does. Okay? And so, with all of that, I just wanted to share with you how important it is for us to have more of the Holy Spirit. There are many works of the Holy Spirit shown in the book of Ephesians. Let me just say these real quick, even though we won't have the time to go quite a bit into it just because of time. But it says this, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 1, verse 13. That means that we have been purchased with a price, and He is the seal, the proof of purchase. You know, when you go into a store and you buy something, you always get a proof of purchase that shows that it was purchased by you. The same way, when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the Holy Spirit in your life, in your heart, shows that you have been purchased by Christ. Amen? For instance, whenever, you know, Christmas just passed, a lot of people before Christmas have layaway, right? In the same way with layaway, you go in there and you say, I want to buy this product, right? You take it to the people in the back and you say, I want this product. And they say, okay, we'll save it for you. And you put so much money down. That down payment is the seal of the Holy Spirit. But then there comes a day after you've paid it off, you get your purchased possession, right? It's the same way. Jesus is coming back and He's going to take what He purchased. That's you and me. Amen? And so we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. These are His works. Chapter 1, verse 14 says, He is the earnest of our inheritance. Chapter 1, verse 14. Again, that is dealing with the seal, the proof of purchase, the fact that we are His possession. The earnest is the down payment, the fact that He is coming to purchase. Through Him, we have access to the Father. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. We have access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. It says, for through Him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. That means, you know, whenever you have to go to a secure location, you ever been in a building, you know, for those that go to the school, there's some people that work in the school here. In order to get into the building, you have certain cards that give you free access into the building. Most of us have to press a button and wait for them to open the door. But when you have that access card, you just go and swipe it in front of that electronic device and it just beeps open and you go right in. In the same sense, the Holy Spirit is your access. You can go directly to God the Father and you don't got to wait for someone to help you pray. Amen? You don't have to go and talk to someone first to go and get to God. You can go directly to God. Amen? You don't have to come through the pastor. You don't have to go through priest. You don't have to go through a saint. You can go directly to God by faith through the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Scripture says. Amen? We have access to our Father by one Spirit. Talking about the Holy Spirit. The church is being built through the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 2, verse 22. It says, in whom also are being built together into a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is gathering the church together. He's saving individuals. He's making us the church. And did you know that all of us here in the Center Assembly of God, we're not the only church? Amen? God's calling people in the Baptist congregations, Spanish and English. Amen? In the Methodist congregations, the body of Christ is coming together. That is, I'm not going to say, listen to this, that every single person sitting in a pew warming it means that they are saved. Just because a person is inside a church building doesn't make them born again. They have to receive Jesus Christ into their hearts by faith. Amen? Amen? I remember Keith Green, he said, you know what, just because you're inside McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. Isn't that true? It's the same way. Just because a person goes to church doesn't automatically make them a Christian. We must receive him into our hearts. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, I think it is, says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of the living God. You must open our heart. We must open our hearts to him. Amen? But the Holy Spirit is the one that's calling people. Amen? Some of you just began to feel out of nowhere, just God began to knock on your heart and he started saying, I want you to start going back to church. I want you to come back to me. And it's strong sometimes, the moving of the Holy Spirit in the heart. Amen? It wasn't the pastor saying it. It was God's Holy Spirit. You just felt in your heart, I've got to get it right with God. I'm going to go back to church. Amen? And I'm going to seek Him. That was the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit moving in our families, in our homes. Some of you will be the person through whom they will hear the gospel. They're being troubled. They're being moved upon by the Holy Spirit. And you're the one that will say, hey, you want to come to church with me? And they'll say, yes. But it's not just because you ask them. It's because the Holy Spirit has already been dealing with that heart. Amen? He is the one that puts the body of Christ together. Amen? Thank God. His truth, spiritual truth, is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 3, verse 5. We read this earlier. Chapter 3, verse 5. Says, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. He reveals spiritual truth. If you want to have a greater understanding of the Bible, you should have good Bible teaching. Hopefully here at the church, you'll gain some insight through the teaching that we give you. But when you really want to know the depths of God's Word, through our teaching, through the ministry, and through your own prayer life and your own study of the Bible, the Holy Spirit will open up God's Word to you. Amen? He will do it. Oh, and I'm telling you, it's beautiful when He starts to open up the Scripture to you. Amen? It's just like you read a Scripture and it never was understood before, but all of a sudden it seems like it just jumps out and it like almost hits you and you're like, whoa, okay, I understand that now. Amen? That's the Holy Spirit revealing God's spiritual truths. We're strengthened internally by Him. Strengthened internally by Him. Look at chapter 3, verse 16. It says that He would give you, according to the riches of His glory, power to be strengthened by His Holy Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened internally by the Holy Spirit. How many of you want to be built up on the inside? Internally. I'm talking about your thought life, inside, your spirit. You're going to be built up by the Holy Spirit of God. We're strengthened internally by Him. We should be filled with Him. Look at chapter 5, verse 18. It says, do not be drunk with wine, for that is reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting that Paul says, and he likens it together, people out there in the world like to drink and they get drunk with their drink. But he's saying, it's not. Don't be like that. Instead, be filled with the wine of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that He'll give you, I mean, it might be improper to say it, but let me just say it. He'll give you a buzz that this world can't give you. Amen? And you won't get a hangover either. Praise the Lord. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be filled with Him. If you will seek after God and say, God, fill me with more of Your Holy Spirit, God will fill you with more. Amen? And He gives real joy, not a dumb joy that sometimes some that are drunk will act like. You know what I mean? We should also pray in the Spirit. That's what we were looking at earlier, chapter 6, verse 18. Pray in the Spirit always with all kinds of prayer and supplication. And then last but not least, He provides one of the pieces of the Christian armor, and that was verse 17 of chapter 6. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen? These are what the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. He wants to do something beautiful in our lives, and He's going to do it through His Holy Spirit. Amen? Ah. I remember one time there was this old evangelist at our school. He came by to teach us about the Holy Spirit. His name was Brother Jack West. He was an evangelist. He actually spoke all around the world. He actually met some of those old Pentecostals that, you know, we hear about. Anyways, he even preached in the biggest church in the world South Korea, Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho's church. Dr. Jack West, I mean, he would talk about just breathe in the Holy Spirit. There is a fullness of a Christian experience that you can have. But we need to experience that through the Holy Spirit. Pray for more of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? God, help us not to lean on our own understanding, not to be content with our own knowledge. Let's begin to pray for more of the mind and knowledge of God. Amen. And be filled with more of the Spirit. If you want more of an experience in your Christian life, ask for more of the Holy Spirit. You see, our experience is not one of feelings. It's not about that. But you are, and I am, an emotional person, and there will be times when God's Holy Spirit will touch you in your emotions. Sometimes He will touch you and you will weep tears, and they'll come out like rivers. And I'm not talking about tears of pain, but tears of joy. He will wash you on the inside, and sometimes it comes out through tears. There will be times when you can be filled with such joy that you'll laugh in the Spirit. And I'm not talking about laughter movements. I'm talking about a real, true Holy Ghost laughing in the Spirit. He can fill you to where you'll weep in the Spirit, laugh in the Spirit. Sometimes you can fall out in the Spirit. I mean, I'm not trying to say, oh man, the Holy Rollers are coming back. But there will be times when you might be knocked out in the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is still very important for you and me as a child of God. There's whole movements that are cessationists. Cessationists are those that believe that the moving of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers ceased with the apostles. That God doesn't move on individuals the same way anymore. I mean, yes, when you're saved by faith, the Holy Spirit is in your heart. He doesn't come into your heart through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism is actually an overflow of the Spirit. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit is in your heart as a believer. If you've never spoken in tongues, you're just as saved as the one speaking with tongues. And the one that speaks in tongues is not holier than the one that doesn't. Don't ever get confused with that. You're saved by faith. But the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking with tongues, the gifts of the Spirit, miracles, the gift of miracles, the gift of discerning of spirits, the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 do operate today. But the Holy Spirit still can come into our lives or into our services, and He can touch us in a very profound way. Amen? It didn't stop with the apostles. And I believe that in these latter days, we need more of a true manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our churches again. Amen? Amen. It's my prayer that when people come into this church, that they will sense God's presence here because the Holy Spirit is so real in this church. Amen? Amen. And we should pray for that. Pray for that. When you're in your own prayer time, pray for the church, that God's Holy Spirit, His presence will be here in such a profound way that people, when they come in, will not leave the same. Amen. That if they came in a sinner, that they would, even if they left without accepting Christ, that they could not deny the presence of God and that they would be troubled the rest of their day. You follow what I'm saying? Follow what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit will deal with hearts when nobody else is around. Amen? When they're at home and they're all alone, after they're off their high, God's Holy Spirit will start knocking on that heart. We need the Holy Spirit in Center, Colorado. We need the Holy Spirit in the San Luis Valley. And we need the Holy Spirit in America again. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for all that You have been doing and all that You will do. And I thank You, Lord, for our discussion today on the person of the Holy Spirit. I pray that You would use what we have shared today, even more specifically what we have heard through Your Word, that, Lord, it would just ignite within our hearts a desire for more of You, a desire for more in all that You have, that, Lord, we would receive Your Holy Spirit in power, that we receive that prayer language to pray in the Spirit, but more so, all the more so that we can know more of Jesus in our hearts and lives, that we can be of greater effect in our world, Lord. I pray that You would fill this place with more of Your Holy Spirit. Help us not in any way to ever fear the moving of the Holy Spirit, but instead to be open and welcoming of what You will do. And so have Your way the rest of our service today. I pray that You would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and go around and greet one another.